NBC interrupts all its programs to bring you a special bulletin. The United States has severed diplomatic relations with Finland. Secretary Hull, announcing the break, said that further relations between our country and Finland is now impossible, despite long-standing friendship, because of the Finnish alliance with the Nazis. Keep tuned to your NBC station for later news.
Get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vic and Sade, written by Paul Reimer. Vic and Sade is brought to you by Crisco, the pure all-vegetable shortening. It's digestible. And now here's Zella Lane. Say, Zella, you dropped this letter yesterday.
Oh, yes, it's from my nephew in the service. Friends, have you noticed how one of the first things you hear from boys in camp is a report on chow? Well, last night my chow was up for rating. My husband's younger brother was in on furlough and came over for dinner. Now, you know how boys like weenies. Well, you should have heard the praise for the Crisco dish I served. It's something you might like to try. You slice up your weenies with onions and peppers, then sauté them in Crisco. Sound tasty? Well, wait. Next, you add stewed tomatoes. Let the whole thing get hot, then pour it over golden squares of Crisco cornbread. And good. The weenies come out so tempting and flavorful. Crisco frying does that, you know. And the sauce so tasty. Well, everybody enjoyed every bite. Isn't it good to see your folks eat hearty? Really, that's the joy of cooking with Crisco. You never have to worry about digestions, even with fried foods. I thought of that last night when my youngsters pitched right in. It's so reassuring knowing Crisco itself is digestible. And that's what 9 out of 10 doctors say. Yes, Crisco's pure and all vegetable. It's the finest quality shortening you can use. Honestly, with Crisco, everything you cook tastes better, and it's digestible. Now, friends, right after the program, you'll hear full details on Crisco's new cookbook and how to get it. So do listen. And now back to Vic and Sade.
Well, sir, it's about 9 o'clock in the evening as we approach the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here on the front porch, enjoying the cool night air, we discover Mr. and Mrs. Victor Goode. Conversation's been languid and desultory, and a moment ago ceased altogether. But at length, Vic yawns luxuriously and says...
How about bed?
You keep saying how about bed every couple of minutes, but you still sit there. Go on, go to bed.
I don't want to go by myself. I'm afraid of the dark.
You're as transparent as my shoe. You want me to go upstairs with you, so I'll turn on lights and throw back sheets and dig out pajamas and pull down shades. You don't want to get stuck with any chores.
Why, what a gross injustice you do me, Sadie. Delicate, sensitive persons like myself are forever being misunderstood. I cried all night last night just thinking about it. What was it the poet Keats said to the poet Browning on the occasion when he held a dandelion underneath his chin to determine enough?
Yes, I get awful tired of the poet Keats and the poet Browning sometimes. I bet you want something to eat before you go to bed.
A very tiny soup sound of something extra toothsome might beguile me.
Soup?
Soup sound. Soup sound is a French word meaning a small morsel or a little taste. It's spelled S-O-U-P-C-O-N. In polite society, the guests skulk around the drawing room and shriek at the butler to go fetch another soupçon of salad dressing or another soupçon of raspberry sherbet.
There's still that enormous big hunk of round steak from day before yesterday in the icebox.
An enormous big hunk of round steak hardly sounds like a tiny soupçon.
How about a splotch of bread pudding?
A splotch of bread pudding doesn't have a romantic ring in it. I crave something with a dash of moonlight in it, a hint of poetry, a suggestion of perfumed water lilies.
You're not hungry.
I'm not actually starving, no.
Nobody could be hungry that put away the style supper you did tonight.
Now you make me out greedy.
Mm-hmm.
How about bed?
Go on to bed.
Yes, and then I'd have to get down my own pajamas off the hook and pull down the shades all by myself and pull back the sheet and set the alarm clock and half a dozen other tedious and tiresome jobs.
Here comes Mr. Whatchamadoodle up the sidewalk.
Who?
Mr. Brickety Black from Clickety Clack.
Why, it's dear little Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Bless his heart.
He must think he's getting home late, skipping along rapid as my undershirt.
He's a good, sweet boy. How about bed?
I'm not tired.
Hey, you up there in the porch.
Why does he have to yell when the whole neighborhood's asleep?
It's only a little past nine.
People have hit the hay, though, just the same.
Pa Donahue retired?
Sure, he has to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. He's taking a cold drag to Kansas City.
I'm glad I'm not taking a cold drag to Kansas City.
You guys all asleep, are they?
Some guys are asleep.
I thought you were. Refused to answer a civil question.
Well, what's the idea of screaming and shouting in the middle of the night? You appreciate people turning in early.
It's only about 8:45.
8:45, my foot.
8:46, then. Hello, Gulf.
Hello, old pal.
You're not asleep, are you?
No.
Your head was kind of drooping.
I got what science calls a drooping head. So many brains inside.
Mom, I'm not going to be here tonight.
You're not going to be where tonight?
Here. I've accepted an invitation to spend the night at Milton Welch's house.
Oh, you have you?
Milton's folks left on the 5:45 for Chicago. Won't be back till Sunday. I have received a cordial invitation to be company for Milton.
Well, I'm glad you feel old enough to decide you're free to make up your own mind, accept invitations to spend the night away from home. It's nice when 14-year-old children are all through with the bother of asking permission from their parents.
Oh, heck, Mom, I accepted because I knew you wouldn't refuse me the permission.
I don't remember anybody asking me for any permission.
I'm asking you now.
Did the whole outfit go to Chicago? Mr. and Ms. Welch and Harlene and Miss Dormer?
No, just Mr. and Ms. Welch. Harlene and Miss Dormer both got jobs they can't leave.
Hmm.
Well, how about it?
I suppose you'd be a good boy and behave yourself. What's funny?
There's no reason on earth why you shouldn't give me permission to go spend the night at Milton's house, but you feel like you ought to beat around the bush and ask questions and demand...
It's as funny as all that. You better just stay home and have a good laugh.
Of course, you're joking.
I might not be.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll just bid you individuals good night and trot back on over to Welch's.
14-year-old kids anymore, they're too big for their shoes.
Good night, Gov.
Good night, old boy.
Good night, Mom. I'll probably be home around 9 o'clock or so in the morning. I received a cordial invitation to take breakfast with Milton, so...
Hey, you're not leaving now.
Why? It's getting late.
You'd actually bounce off and sleep in people's nice bed that way.
What way?
Come back here, Russell.
What's the matter?
Of all the heathens I ever saw in my life, and you a monstrous big high school gentleman that's supposed to have good sense.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
You actually squarched down in lovely people's bed without taking a bath, huh?
Well, I'm going to take a bath. Me and Milton both are.
Where?
At his house.
Now, wouldn't that be fine? Wouldn't that be fine? You played baseball all afternoon, didn't you? You slid around in the dust.
Naturally.
Oh, you're dirty as a horse.
I'm going to take a bath, Mom.
Where?
At Milton's.
In their magnificent clean bathroom, huh?
Why not?
Oh, my, yes, why not?
I still ask why not.
Miss Welch is one of the most particular housekeepers on the face of the earth. Her bathroom is so white and shining you can hear a pin drop. What would she think if she got home and found out some old baseball-playing fella dirty as my shoe had been sloshing around?
Well, I don't slosh around. Anyway, Milton issued me a cordial invitation.
And Harlene and that Miss Dormer there are two of the daintiest ladies in creation.
Well, they're not going to watch me take a bath. Well, heck,
that's how you leave our bathroom. Person would think there'd been a cyclone let loose. Enough water on the floor to swallow up Miller Park Lake. No, sir, you take your bath here.
Oh, bub bed.
Go ahead to bed. And you were going to walk off without any pajamas, too, I bet.
Oh, Milton's got pajamas.
When people go visiting, do they depend on their hostess to give them night clothes?
Well, I don't consider Milton my hostess. He simply give me this cordial invitation.
You take your pajamas like a civilized person. Get the ones out of my bottom dresser drawer Aunt Bess give you with the doojigger embroidered on the pocket. Goodness, what would Harlene and Miss Stormer think of such a guest as you?
It's not any of their beeswax that I do.
Harlene is secretary to Mr. Downers there in the bank. She's very, very stylish. Gets her clothes made in Peoria and everything else. How she happens to have a little brother like Milton, I can't imagine. And Miss Stormer's head of the hat department in at Yamilton's. Very la-di-da lady. And you'd spend the night at their house looking like a tramp.
I'm Milton's company, not their company. If they don't like it, they can...
actually go over there without pajamas and without a bath.
Sadie, honey, you try upstairs and fix the bedroom.
Now, here's what you do, Russell, and you better start doing it, too, because it's getting late and you don't want people's house in a turmoil till daylight. Try upstairs and start running your tub. Then up on top of the top shelf in the hall clothes closet, stand on a chair and pull down your suitcase. There'll be other stuff.
Suitcase?
Of course.
What the heck do I want with a suitcase?
You're going to carry your pajamas under your arm? That'd be an elegant way to go visiting.
I'm not going visiting. I'm only going to spend the night over at Milton Welch's house. He lives 3 blocks away. You call that visiting?
I call it visiting to accept people's hospitality.
You want me to drag along that great big suitcase just to carry pajamas in?
I suppose pajamas is all you'd take if I didn't keep track of you.
Well, what else do you want me to take?
A handkerchief, a pair of fresh socks, a suit of fresh underwear, toothbrush. Heavens, Russell.
Handkerchief, socks, underwear, and toothbrush I have to take with me just to spend one night 2 blocks away from home?
2 blocks or 2 million miles is all the same when you're staying at somebody else's house and using somebody else's things.
But look, Mom, I'm only going to be gone 9 hours. I'll be home first thing in the morning. I'm not traveling to Sweet Esther, Wisconsin.
Might be a good thing if you did sometime. Now, whip along. Bet they'd like to get settled over at Welch's.
Yeah, they wouldn't. They won't be able to get settled until I unpack my baggage. Maybe I ought to take along a hot water bottle. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll write you a nice long letter and tell you what kind of a time I'm having. I hope you and Gov don't miss me too much while I'm away. If you do, you can just stick your head out the window and holler. I'll answer you. Milton only lives 2 blocks
away.
Will
you go?
Okay.
Be careful when you yank down that suitcase from off the shelf.
All right.
I guess you can't look for good sense in children till they get to be 21 years old. He would have splorched over to Welch's house looking like a tramp. Lance.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
What?
Let's go to bed.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And now, here's Zella Lane.
Friends, I do hope you've sent for Crisco's new wartime cookbook. This is the last time I can offer you recipes for good eating. And is it a cookbook to own? Packed with Crisco recipes, 64 pages, with color photographs of tempting dishes, a color index, and loads of method pictures that explain cooking tricks. And wait till you see how helpful it is. Such a variety of tempting Crisco recipes. Time-saving hints for wartime meals. Grand ways to fix leftovers. Appetizing tricks for inexpensive cuts of meats. And talk about good Crisco desserts. There are wonderful cakes, pies galore. Nothing's overlooked. It even gives alternate ingredients for recipes in case there are foods you can't buy. You'll be disappointed if you don't get a copy. So right now, print your name and address clearly. Mail it with 10 cents in coin and a Crisco label, any size. Address Crisco, Department A, Cincinnati 1, Ohio. The offer is only good in the United States, and you'll have to allow 14 to 18 days for delivery. So send today for Crisco's new wartime cookbook.
Folks, it's new, it's different, it's hilarious. Glamour Manor, a big half-hour variety show, starts Monday, July 3rd. A brand-new kind of daytime show starring Cliff Arquette, Hollywood's lovable comedian. Hear Glamour Manor over another network next Monday and every Monday through Friday thereafter. Check your local paper for time and station. And don't forget to listen to Vic and Save the next time. This is Ed Roberts saying good day for Crisco. It's digestible. This is the National Broadcasting Company.